the unofficial history, this time of Lorn, your memories of Lorn, and we'll put together both the official and unofficial history of one of Victoria's favourite seaside resort towns. Noel's in with a early bid, I think, for best recollection. Noel, what did you want to tell us?
Oh, Raph, talking about the Erskine River there first, my earliest memory was riding with my pony and my grandfather bringing cattle across the Erskine Ridge and then taking him down the main street of Lorn to Mount George, where we held them in Keaton for our abattoirs.
Wow. So what decade would that be, Noel?
I don't know. I'm nearly 80 now, Raph.
And you were a teen then?
Oh, no. I was about 7 or 8, I suppose, on my little pony, Smokey.
And it
was wonderful memories. The second memory I had was the Wild Colonial Club. That was built by Alistair Smith, Alistair and Robin Smith. They started that. I helped Alistair build the Arab, and later on
Back up. You helped build the Arab Cafe?
Yes. I coming home off the school bus one day, and there was Alistair. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a cafe." We couldn't get the roof on, so his brother Robin suggested we put a canvas over it.
And that's how the canvas happened?
And call it the Arab, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, yeah. Firstly, mind blown, because that was my childhood haunt. Secondly, you mentioned the Wild Colonial Club.
They started the Wild Colonial Club. Alistair and Robin and their brother Robin, who was a dancer with Borovansky, they started the Wild Colonial Club. With another chap called George Papadopoulos. A lot of people will know these names.
And where was the Wild Colonial Club? Close to the beach or something?
Yes, it was about 100 metres north of the swimming pool, where the swimming pool is now.
Wow.
And previous to that, the Driscolls had what was called the Fun Parlour and a skating rink there, and also a dodgem rink as well.
Sorry, there was a skating rink?
Yes, my word. Very important. My father was in the roller hockey team there.
Oh my Lord.
An extraordinary place. Later, the Smiths, of course, built the Abominable Snowman at Mount Buller, and I went and worked for them up there too. Of course, the memories on Lorn, just fantastic, and I love the place very much.
Noel, you've just taken me on an amazing journey through the history of Lorn. Thank you so much for calling. Really appreciate hearing from you.
Good on you, Raph.
Mark's calling from Panton Hill. What do you want to tell us, Mark?
G'day, Raph. Thanks very much for your show. Raph, I'm an old surfer and my wife and I used to like the beach very much and Lorn's a favourite place. And so back in the early 80s, thought I'd organise a nice romantic night down there at Lorn. And so we had a wonderful day. And so off we tootled along the pier after a wonderful romantic meal. And I asked her to marry me and... she says no.
Sorry.
No. Yes. You were expecting the obvious.
Yes.
And, And so, what can you say? That really took
the wind
out of me.
What did you say?
I was lost for words. To be honest, I was that flabbergasted I can't remember. And, So you can imagine... then we go back to our accommodation for the evening and, it's a single double bed and it was a rather... that's why I rang in. I thought it's worth a laugh. A rather cool sort of environment. Yeah, it was quite funny.
So did you talk that night at all? Like, what did you...
We sort of did, but it was sort of like we're both in our own worlds and sort of... both in a bit of shock, really, because she didn't expect it either. And, of course, I didn't even consider that option. So, yeah, it was really hilarious.
And what happened?
Well, today is our 35th anniversary.
That's why you can laugh.
Yes, most indeed.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for calling. Alison's calling from Q, a contribution to our unofficial history of Lorn. What do you want to tell us, Alison?
Oh, well, my earliest memory goes back to the early 30s. And in that time, there wasn't a direct supply of electricity. There was a big corrugated iron shed on the Erskine paddock. And they had a power some mechanism or some machinery there, and we got our electricity supply from that. It wasn't very reliable. And then a few years later, my father had to go up to Melbourne for the day, but it happened to be the 13th of January in 1939. And while he was in Melbourne, they said, oh, Lorne's gone up in flames.
So that's Black Friday.
That was Black Friday. And Lorne hadn't gone up in flames, but our family holiday house, because we came from Colac, and we had a holiday house up sort of behind the shops, and you could look across to the oval, and the trees at the top of the oval were all in flames.
Sounds terrifying, Alison.
Well, yes, yes. My sister and I were sent down to the beach, and my mother and my two brothers stayed in the house, and my brothers went out to help fight the fire. And I can remember that the sea was absolutely scattered with ash and cinders and bits of burnt trees. And this terrific cloud of smoke over the sky was sort of just smoky, and the sun looked like a little orange ball, you know, because of the heavy smoke there. And in the early days, before Black Friday, if you came through the hills, you stopped at Ben Werren, and the lady there would see cars coming, and she'd put a tray of scones into the oven. And then when you arrived, there were fresh baked scones with jam and cream.
Fantastic.
To sort of break your journey.
Oh, delightful, Alison. Look, just loving Noel, loving Alison, loving Nadine, who worked at Erskine House as a housemaid, 17 years old, polished the balustrade. Justin's mum tells him he was conceived at Erskine House in 1964. There's a fair bit of that going on. Di had her first cappuccino at the Arab. John Lethlean thinks it was the first regional espresso machine in Australia. Teresa had her first pineapple juice there when she was 12 in 56. Diane remembers seeing skyhooks at the pub and Red Simons dressed, our own Red Simons, dressed in full gear, spitting water on the audience. Rude man. Gary and Pakenham remembers the fantastic jazz at the Wild Colonial that Noel also helped to build. Everybody jammed in shoulder to shoulder. Susie worked at Cumberland Cafe. They used unsalted butter on their toasted sandwiches. The Falls Festival. Christy worked at the bar while the Living End blared out in 2010. Last year, Hayley woke at 3 a.m. on her birthday in a thunderstorm and got to see Vance Joy that night from the front row. Falls is big lately in people's recollections. Michael called to say he'd been five times, including seeing the Arctic Monkeys bringing in the 2012 New Year. Sarah first got drunk on West Coast coolers in the toilet block in the 1980s. Quite a few people lost their virginity at Lorne. I wasn't expecting that. Enda stayed at the Lorne Hotel in 1962. It was the first time she'd seen trampolines. Virginia lost her virginity. Sarah drank West Coast coolers in the toilet block. And in 1963, Tony first heard the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand. Sharky was a Lorne character, lots of you mentioning him. He sprayed coconut oil on customers to help them tan. His mini bike is still on display. Rod described him wearing a faded shirt, a peaked cap and Speedos with dark brown sunbaked skin. A legend and king of the kids. And there's a plaque on the foreshore to commemorate him. And Mark in Panton Hill proposed to a girl there. She said no. He kept it up, though, and today they are celebrating their 35th wedding anniversary. We are doing unofficial history of any place across Victoria. If you've got an idea for a place we should look at, we've spoken about Lorne, we've spoken about Under the Clocks at Flinders Street, we've spoken about Luna Park. If you've got an idea for an unofficial history of what, send us an email, melbournedrive@abc.net.au, or just send us a text on 0437 774 774.